Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
All right, let's say we hear a little bit from John Elway, courtesy of the great folks at DenverBroncos.com with Elway Access. What do they have for you when you do something on FS1? You know, is it slopping with stink, or we got to come up with something for you?
No, they just ask me.
Stinking it up?
They just ask me questions, and, you know, I give honest opinions, and then I have to issue apologies.
How'd it go with you? I didn't get a chance to see this, which, because I know you appear on many different forums on FS1. My favorite is when you're on with Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless. How'd that go?
Oh, that was tremendous.
Yes?
Yeah. I mean, I think the only time I ever go on Undisputed, or just about every time I go on Undisputed, we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, really? With Skip Bayless?
100%. 100% of the time. It's a Dallas Cowboy conversation, which, you know, I can't wait till I get the Cowboys because like I said yesterday, they will never win anything, ever. And I said it 19 years ago when I first got into television with the way they are structured. They just won't. When your management, when your owner slash GM has the authority to circumvent your coach's authority and emasculate your coach on a day-to-day basis, nobody respects Jason Garrett. It's not Jason Garrett's fault. It's the owner's fault. So they'll never win jack. I can't wait for him to lose tonight to Chicago.
Oh, Skip must have been apoplectic about that.
No, he actually agrees with it. He's just all upset. He was apoplectic because of it's so true that he's just, you know, he's extremely upset.
Meanwhile, did Shannon try to draw you into a conversation about LeBron? He loves talking about LeBron.
No, thank the Lord he didn't. Boy, I tell you what, again, the NBA, really? You know, the NBA's ratings are down 23%. 23%.
That's stupid load management BS.
You remember when the NFL's ratings were down 7% and the sky was falling?
Yeah.
And the NFL and owners like Mark Cuban were like, oh, you know, pigs get, you know,
what slaughtered?
Yeah, and pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered, and the NFL is finally going down, and blah blah blah. The ratings have never been better. They're crushing it right now. The NFL was down 7%, 23%. The ratings for the NBA are down.
That Mark Cuban thing you really butchered.
I certainly did, didn't I? It was about butchering, too. That's the great thing about
it. That's what I was just implying.
Yeah.
Keep up now. Now, come on.
Yeah. Keep up. I get it now. I get it. You are so quick.
John Elway talking about his thoughts on Drew Locke.
You know, I thought he did a nice job. It's always hard as a quarterback. I can still, 30 years ago, remember my first start and how fast things were moving around. And so he did a real nice job. I was excited to see what he did. And you know, I think the key thing for him is, you know, he's a little bit rusty. You know, I think that we saw a couple of throws that he probably normally won't miss that because of the layoff that he had being on IR for 12 weeks. So, but other than that, he was seeing things well. He was slowing down for him after that first series. He was able to repeat back what he saw and key thing for a quarterback is you have to have a reason why you do things, and to be able to say, I saw this, I saw that, and that's why I did this. And so to be able to see that from a first start is a real good sign.
Okay, I like that. That's QB on QB right there.
All right, that was good. That was really good. He knows a little something about playing QB, turns out. Right?
Yeah, he was pretty good, which just...
Is
further confounding that he hasn't been able to identify quarterbacks.
Well,
it's mind-boggling.
I think sometimes it's like you study defenses for 17 years. You weren't studying quarterbacks. You're studying defenses. So I think you, it's easier to see sometimes what gave you issues as a quarterback. You know, pass rushers, DBs, the way they break, because that's what you studied for 17 years as a player. So I think there is, you know, something to easier to kind of evaluate sometimes, the things that you had to defeat all the time, because that's what you studied and that's what you looked at. Does that make sense?
Yes, but you're still one of the great quarterbacks of all time. You, you know, well, maybe you don't know. Is that maybe the crux of the problem? Is that you just did what you did? You knew what you knew. You saw what you saw. Maybe you didn't stop along the way to really figure out what made you you, and maybe that's why he has trouble in trying to figure out what the characteristics of a quarterback that he's looking for.
Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot. I think there's a lot that goes into it. And I think it's just too easy to point to one thing and say, well, I mean, well, you could point to, you know, being enamored with March quarterbacks. You know what I mean?
March quarterbacks.
Yeah, March quarterbacks. Like, you can't be enamored with guys with the March quarterback. You know, the guy that in shorts and a t-shirt at the combine.
Okay, combine, right?
You know, the March quarterback.
The underwear, like, Olympics.
Yeah, you mean people get enamored with stopwatches and vertical jumps and, you know, and arm strength and arm talent and, you know, my hat on backwards, throwing in the rain, you know, like, you can't get enamored with the March quarterback. You have to have, you know, the other stuff, or any March player for that instance, you know, the guys we used to call first off the bus guys. You know, the guys who look the part but can't actually play. And I'm not saying that it's an easy job. I think it's probably exceptionally hard. But the bottom line is, hey, nobody cares that it's hard, right? Everything is hard. There's not one person that doesn't, whose life isn't hard for, right? It's just that's the way life is. So, you know, it's like Alex Gibbs used to say, get good or get gone.
As life.
Be good at picking up players, be good at doing your job, be good, or find somebody who is good.
Has life really been hard for you? Come on now.
Yeah, well,
you show up in an airport and somebody's standing there with your name on a board.
I still got to get on a plane and travel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I still got to deal with right. Delays.
Delays, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's not, you know...
It's not easy being Mark Schlereth.
No, okay, so I'm sitting in a first class cushy seat.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's still delayed.
Yeah.
Gotta wait for the plane to de-ice.
Yeah.
While you're getting another, you know, cocktail.
Right. And, you know, I mean, it's not easy. You know, I mean, still gotta wipe down my seat with some, you know, some antibacterial wipes. You know, you never know who's been sitting in that seat. Clipping toenails.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, I've got the picture.
Oh, I know.
Of the guy who clipped toenails on the
please stop.
Oh, God, I've seen that. All right. Coming up next, more from Elway, including, are we watching a good, young, promising core getting developed right before our very eyes? That's next.
Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to our First Bank business specialist today. First Bank Business, banking for good. Member FDIC.
Millennial Ben on a bit of a Green Day kick today.
Yeah, he is.
Nothing wrong with that.
All right.
Nothing wrong at all.
That's actually funny.
How does your wife feel about us using her in our ever-expanding library of drops? Is she okay?
Probably. She probably doesn't know it, but she probably.
You know what? That's too bad.
Yeah. She probably wouldn't care for that.
Really? What about the wreck one? Does she like that
one? This is a wreck.
I don't know that she's. I don't know that she's actually heard the drops. So, yeah, she doesn't really listen or watch anything that I do, except when she's in the car, you know, and turns it on, she's heading to Starbucks right. or whatever.
And then you say something stupid. And
yeah, and then I then say something. Yeah, and then she's like, oh, my gosh, you're an idiot. Mm-hmm. You know, like when I'm sitting, you know, in a hotel room in wherever, Atlanta or wherever I was, you know, naked, talking to you.
Right.
She didn't like that.
Neither did I.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't blame you. Hey, I don't like it either. It just happened.
All right. More from John Elway on Elway Access on DenverBroncos.com. So the dialogue this week has been possibility that Wrinkles, Rich Gangarello, in some trouble, coaching for his job these last 4 weeks. Here's what John had to say about Rich.
You know, he's had to adjust a lot. And I think that, you know, with that being said, he's done a heck of a job and a lot of adjustments. Obviously, we still have to get better in the second half. And, you know, we've struggled in that second half. So we're, you know, it's a constant effort to be able to, you know, be more aggressive in that second half and put points on the board. And, but, you know, I think, you know, Rich has been through a lot with three different certain quarterbacks. I think he's done a nice job.
The lie detector test determined
that was a lie.
Well, what do you think? You heard him. You think that he blames Scangarello? That he is sympathetic to Scangarello? That he will... I mean, you said earlier this week, 80%. 80% you believe Scangarello is back next year. You still Correct. Believe that?
Yeah.
You still are at that number?
Yeah, I am, yeah. I mean, you know, the whole, we've got to get more aggressive in the second half, and, you know, we've got to... Oh, they have to be better. Yes, they do, Mike. They do. Again, I am not. You know, I am. I just refuse. I refuse to play that game. I refuse to jump on. I admit it. That guy did it. It's his fault. He's not aggressive enough. He's not this enough. He's not that enough. Three different quarterbacks. Lack of execution by your players. You know, I'm not gonna pile on Rich Scangarello and say his job is easy and I've given him the players to do it and he's just not getting it done. I don't believe that. Does he have to be better? Yeah. Do they have to have better players? Yeah. So I won't scapegoat your offensive coordinator. I refuse to do that.
Yeah, I get a lot of these on the RamosLaw.com text line. Well, can't you just admit that the coaching hasn't been great? Yeah, I could do that. Sure. But if you think that the coaching is what is holding back this offense, you're nuts. I mean, you're crazy. You haven't been paying attention around here the last 4+ years. Could the coaching be better? Yeah. Plenty of places. The coaching could be better. Vic Fangio's vaunted defense could be better. Could be coached better.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been doing it for multiple decades. Scangarello's doing this for the first time. Sure, he could be better. But if you think that he has been so bad and there is so limited room for him to improve, and he is what is not only holding this offense back this year, but will continue to hold back this offense... Again, you're hopelessly naive to what's been going on around here. Hopelessly naive, which leads to the next question. Are we watching the emergence of the next great core of young players that will lead this team? Back, Elway talked about that.
The thing I'm excited about is they've all improved. I think we've made big steps from week 1 to week 12, and we saw it yesterday. And the key thing is everybody's playing really hard. And that's a testament to Vic and his staff and the way that the effort that they're putting out there. So they've continued to improve, which is exciting to see.
So they're playing young players. I mean, there's no doubt they're playing young players. Just because you're playing young players, though, just because you have started on a youth movement doesn't mean that youth movement's going to work. I mean, if you've been a fan around here for a long time, you've seen plenty of failed youth movements when it comes to the Avalanche, to the Nuggets, the Rockies. So just because they're young, just because they have a young core, doesn't mean that core is going to turn out to be great. So They're playing plenty of young players.
Mm-hmm.
But is this an emerging great young core?
Well, I would ask you this, and I've said this before. You know, sometimes a youth movement can be, you know, akin to a bowel movement. I mean, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's not.
Oh, man, I hope your wife was just listening to that.
Sometimes it's not always a good thing, right? So has Courtland Sutton improved?
Yes.
Okay.
Undeniable.
Let's go down through this young core.
Yeah.
Deshaun Hamilton.
Well, all right, I'll tell you what. Let's play a different game. All right? So all we've heard is that the last two drafts have been really, really good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have they? I mean, let's go through it. And we'll play the game. So here you go. Last 2 years, right? That's the argument.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll start with, yeah, Courtland Sutton. Has he improved? Absolutely. Bradley Chubb?
Well, not his fault.
But
right.
I think we're pretty confident that if...
Oh, good job, Benny.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah.
I see one of those hosts.
Deal or no deal.
See one of those hosts with that really long microphone.
Okay, keep
all
going.
Right. So, Royce Freeman?
I would say no.
Isaac Yiadom?
He has improved, but he was so bad early.
Josie Jewell?
No.
Deshaun Hamilton?
Uh-uh.
Troy Fumagalli?
Yeah, but still, you know.
And then this year, Noah Fant?
He's still struggling.
Dalton Risner?
The cooler's been pretty good from day one, but last couple of games he hasn't played as well.
Drew Lock, still to be determined.
Yeah.
Draymond Jones, very athletic play the other day.
Yeah, I think that guy's has actually been pretty decent.
Justin Hollins?
Not enough info.
Juwan Winfrey? Kind of surprised that they moved up to get him, and he's been MIA. So...
Yeah. I'm just telling you, you know, a young core that's all improved. Garrett Bowles, McGovern, Elijah Wilkinson, Noah Fant.
DeMarcus Walker can't even get active.
Fumagalli. I mean, let's pump our brakes on. Hey, everybody's really improved.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I mean, you can improve and still not be very good.
Like, I'm not saying there's nothing, but I do believe that this talk. Well, hey, look at these last couple drafts. Proof they've figured it out. Really?
Right.
Really?
One more thing.
And Lindsey's in there too.
Yeah. Well, but one more thing.
Yeah.
Hey, they're all playing hard. Well, I should hope so. You're a professional football player. I think it's part of the job requirement. Like, if we start just praising guys, well, hey, listen, this guy really stinks, but he's playing hard. You know? I mean, if that's going to be the criteria that we grade upon, then we've got serious issues.
Yeah, so I'll also throw Lindsey and Alexander Johnson in there. Good finds.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah.
Is the evidence so overwhelming that you can sit back and say, aha, they're on the right track. They got it. They got to figure it out. You just went through all the names, really? Can you?
Yeah.
Four down territory coming up next.
And he's loose!
This is four down territory.
Madden is on the field. He wants to know if it's real. They said yes. Get your big butt out of here.
We're on to Cincinnati.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
Do you want to lose? I throw, you catch. It's not that hard, okay? All right, get the out of here.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
You know, just some better throws in some situations. A little bit more accuracy. Just general improvement all the way across the board. And obviously the one thing that everybody notices is the throws. So I thought he missed a couple the other day, but that's to be expected. Hopefully he misses less this game.
Well, there's Vic Fangio talking about Drew Lock. And one of the discussions this week is that, hey, maybe Vic Fangio, you know, you're dealing with a young guy and maybe you should come out and be a lot more positive. And really accentuate the positive when you're talking about Drew Lock. Hey, if he becomes a 7-year veteran and he's, you know, a multi-year Pro Bowler, that's when you can be a little bit more like, hey, yeah, he could be better, da da da. But at this stage, Vic should be more positive. What say you?
Listen, I want Vic to be Vic. That's what I want him to be. And if he's kind of gruff, whatever, I get it, that's fine. The issue, and James Merrilap pointed this out, and I tend to agree with him, the issue is, then don't come out and praise Brandon Allen or Garrett Bowles or some of the other guys you've praised and just damn everybody else, you know?
Well, maybe that's good then. Maybe we've already figured out Vic Fangio. Because if he doesn't really believe in you, if he doesn't really trust you, and he has maybe nowhere else to turn, yeah, he'll do that. But he doesn't really, really think you're that, all that. But the ones he really does think can be pretty good, those are the ones he gives the tough love to. Those are the ones that he refuses to come out and just go crazy about in public.
Okay.
How about that? Well, so why don't we look at, you know, why don't we look at when he says that about Garrett Bowles, and we can all just kind of look at each other and snicker and say, yeah, we know what he really thinks. But if he's saying that about Drew Lock, it could be like, okay, coach likes him.
Yeah, which is fine. But the problem being, Mike, and you know this, is if you don't hold some guys accountable the way you hold everybody else accountable, then eventually that act wears real thin. I mean, real thin.
Next in 4 down territory.
Second down.
It's my confidence coming. I don't think there's an exact thing I can point to. It's just kind of who I've been throughout sports, not just football, but basketball and everything that I've played. I think I've been through some tough times in sports to where, you know, I feel like I can come out of mostly any bad times that I'm going to have to where I should just always stay confident because, you know, if it is bad, I'm 100% sure I can come out of it and make something good from it.
Drew Lock, you like his swagger? Boy, it seems important for a lot of people that what they hear from their quarterback is almost as important as what they see out on the field. That does he, you know?
Yeah.
Does he carry himself? Like the whole Baker Mayfield thing, right?
Yeah.
What supposedly is the idea behind Baker Mayfield? Well, listen to the guy. Listen to the guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they lose a game, he's like, oh, everyone's going to put us in the trash. That's moxie. Right. That's moxie. That's swagger. That's leadership. That's defiance.
Yeah.
I think it's all a bunch of hooey, but
right, I agree with you. I just want dudes to come out and play great football. Huh? Like, and we've had it here. I mean, we had it firsthand here. There's nobody that won a press conference better than Brock Osweiler. The guy was...
Ball security is job security.
Press conference Hall of Fame right there, you know? I mean, if he was half as good on Sunday in the game as he was on his press conference or post-game press conference, you know, I mean... Oh my goodness gracious. We'd have a Hall of Famer. He's not. So, you know, I mean, we just need results is what we need. But I liked what I saw from Drew Lock just from a moxie standpoint on the football field. That to me was the most important thing.
Next in 4 down territory.
Third down.
I mean, just make a play. You know what I mean? A guy like Bosa is hard to break a tackle for him. He's one of the best in the NFL. But I was able to do it and get a first down and help my team continue the drive. And we were able to score a field goal, I think, on that drive. So, you know, whatever I have to do to help the team, that's what I want to do. I just want to win games, man.
Yeah, Philip Lindsay is a willing participant. Give me more. I want to do more. I want to help. Are they using Philip Lindsay enough in the right way this year?
Probably not. I mean, I think they need, you know, obviously more Philip Lindsay. You know, when you consider the rest of the backs on the roster, I think he's the guy that, to me, it makes the most sense, right? I mean, he's your best player roster wise. So that's kind of the direction I would go in.
But you know what's funny is that There's a reason why stats can be telling, but they can also not tell the entire story is because statistically speaking, he's on pace to do everything he did last year.
Right.
Rushing, receiving,
yes.
Basically identical.
Uh-huh.
And yet it doesn't look the same.
It doesn't feel the same.
The impact just doesn't seem the same.
Right. It certainly doesn't, does it? I mean, it isn't. It just isn't the same. So, but I tell you, he's still a really good player. I just feel like you need, that's a dynamic. You've got two guys on your offense, to me, that are really dynamic football players. That's Philip Lindsay, and that's Cortland Sutton. I just think those guys are the guys you need. You know, you need to have as many opportunities for those guys as possible.
Speaking of Cortland Sutton, next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
My job is to catch passes, and he's the guy back there making the plays happen right now, and I love how the guy comes to work. He's a young guy who is willing to learn and wants to be great, and that's all that we can ask of anybody, you know, even of myself, being a guy that wants to learn and grow and develop, and that's what he does.
Yeah, I love how Cortland Sutton was asked, well, how do you make those circus catches like that? He goes, I don't know. There's the ball. I go after the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I make the play. I love that answer.
You know why?
Because the last thing I want is to be like starting to talk about, well, you know, I read the spin and the trajectory and
it's science.
Right. I mean, I want that guy to be like, I don't know. I'm just really good. I'm a really good catcher of the football.
Did you hear, by the way, did you hear, the question posed to Cortland Sutton is, how does Drew Lock elevate your game? So I'm paraphrasing. How does Drew Lock elevate your game? He goes, well, he's a quarterback. I'm a receiver. He throws me the ball. I just was like, touche. That's just like, hey, let me tell you about dumb questions. I don't know. How does he elevate my game? Oh, gosh.
I'll tell you what, we'll get that. Yeah, we'll get that exchange for you coming up there.
That's funny to me.
We'll get that. Also, the issue of whether or not the Broncos are building themselves a nice young core based on the last few drafts. We'll tackle all that coming up next. Ronald Squad.com text line, 303-713-1043. I want to read this one. No name on it. Put your name on it. The toxic negativity about John Elway and this team is so overblown. Every team goes through this kind of stretch. We're just not used to it. This is a spoiled fan base and media base. Think about this from a historical standpoint. We just won a Super Bowl 4 years ago. All right. What about that? Should we step back, take a deep breath, realize this happens, nothing to see here, just part of the overall ebb and flow that franchises go through, and it will flow the other way here before too long?
Well, I mean, do franchises go through this, Mike? And the answer is, yeah, they do go through this. Lots of franchises go through it. You know who goes through it? Tampa, Jacksonville, Cincinnati, the New York Jets. They haven't had a stretch like this in Denver since the 70s, Mike. I don't know about you, but that seems to me to be a long time ago. They haven't had a stretch like this through Mr. Bolin's ownership of this storied franchise. So I understand that we're spoiled. Good. I'm glad that we're spoiled. But much is expected when you're spoiled. You know, you have expectations. I think it's important to have expectations. And I think it's important to hold people to a standard. If you become comfortable with this, that's dangerous. Be comfortable with mediocrity is dangerous. To make excuses for mediocrity is dangerous. Oh, yeah, it's fine. We're just going through a little bit right now. To not have continuity, to have constant turnover and change is dangerous. To always have a scapegoat, oh, it's the coach, is dangerous. And, like, to me, I think it's important. I think it's good that this station, I think it's good that this media base, I think it's good that there are people here in this town that will hold them accountable.
Well, look at it, those teams that you just mentioned. And you could do it in any sport, by the way. You could take all the teams in whatever sport you want to talk about, and they instantly come to mind that have just been down forever, it seems. Why? Why are those teams in that kind of situation? And are there similarities to what we've seen around here the last 4 years? Because before you say that we're just in some sort of just ebb and flow and it's guaranteed to come out just fine here before too long, is it? Or are we in the beginning of something that can last for a long time, like all those teams that you just mentioned? Because if you think about what those franchises go through and the mistakes that are made that puts them into these long, drawn-out droughts, what instantly comes to mind? Poor, unsettled ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Poor drafting. No clear-cut plan. Lack of continuity. And a refusal to make changes when changes desperately need to be made. Do I pretty much have it covered here?
I think so.
When you're talking about the problems that lead to a long franchise drought, I left one or two out, but I think I pretty much covered all of it. You telling me that through the last 4 years, you haven't seen some of those same things crop up here? And that if not addressed, all of a sudden 4 years becomes six, becomes eight, 10.
Mm-hmm. And then you're used to it.
And to say that it can't happen here, we always talk about how, hey, wow, the Denver Broncos are in a stretch that we haven't seen since the early 70s, right? What was it last year? They haven't had two losing seasons in a row since 1971 and 72.
Yep.
Okay. 1971 and 72 happened during a period in which, if you take a look at the, I quickly did the math, so I might be off by a win, a loss, or a tie here. But do you realize in the first 16 years of the Denver Broncos' existence, their record was a combined 73, 142, and 9. Over 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
That included those back-to-back losing seasons. And then it started to turn around in 1973, 74, 75, 76 for sure. And then 77, it all turned around.
Right.
But to say that it can't happen here, I could point to a 16, 17-year span where exactly it did.
You just don't remember. Mike, you know, I'm doing a game in Jacksonville this weekend, and I'm watching Jacksonville tape, okay? And, you know, they've got a lot of issues right now. They've got quarterback issues. They spent $88 million on a guy that they've just put on the bench. They're going to start Gardner Minshew, you know, because the fans love Gardner Minshew, and it's, you know, they're going to sell some tickets and they're going to do some things, right? But there's one move they have made that perplexes me. I mean, it literally perplexes me. And it's a move to me that says somebody other than the coaching staff is making a decision on who plays, whether it's, you know, a direct, you're going to play this guy, or whether it's a, maybe it's a less direct, maybe there's not as many options, or whatever the case may be, right? But it's certainly, there's no coach in the world that I think would do this if they weren't being told you have to do this. And their best offensive lineman, the guy that I think is the best guy they have, the best player they have, the most aggressive, uses the best leverage, uses the best technique, is in a rotational situation with Jacksonville. And his backup stinks. His backup isn't Hill is a quarter the player the starter is. But they rotate those guys on the offensive line. And I look at that situation and I think to myself, man, like there's no wonder your staff's going to get fired. Somebody's got, you know, somebody wants this other guy to be a player. And like that's the kind of stuff that happens in bad organizations, Mike. You don't have depth. Somebody else is making coaching decisions, you know? Like that stuff is not good. And I'm watching it and those are the things that, you know, you look at in my position and I'm like, why in the world, like why would you play somebody who can't play, Mike? That you know can't play. That you know is, you know, not, he's just not good enough.
Yeah, you know, nowhere else to go.
Yeah, nowhere else to go, and you're trying to make the player a player, you know? Like, those things happen in bad organizations. Do they, are they happening here?
Well, of course, but the question now is, if this is just an ebb and flow, mm-hmm. and, you know, if you look at the optimistic would say, hey, this is not the beginning of that 16-year span that you're talking about. It's more like, between 92 and 95, the Broncos went 8-8, 9-7, 7-9, and 8-8. And then we know what happened after that. A 3-year stretch in which you guys won more games than I think anybody has ever won in a three-year stretch, right?
Yes. Yeah.
39 games in the regular season, plus a couple of Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. Then you had, maybe we're in the midst right now of a stretch where between 2006 and 2011, they went 9-7, 7-9, 8-8, 8-8, 4-12, 8-8. You know, but then along comes Peyton Manning and you know what happened. So hopefully what we're seeing these last 4 years, 9-7, 5-11, 6-10, 4-8 is just one of those ebb and flow, 4 or 5 year windows that you're talking about, and they're ready to come out of it here none too soon. But in order for that to happen, then I think you have to go and talk about this idea that these last couple of drafts represent a legitimate turnaround. Like, for example, Jim, I got this text from Jim. It's getting old here in the negative. Poor drafting. We have 8 players from the last 2 drafts that will be Pro Bowl players and the foundation of this next successful stretch.
8.
You guys need to knock it off.
8.
8 from these last 2 drafts. Okay, so here are your candidates. You tell me where the 8 Pro Bowlers are that will make up the guts of this next great Bronco team, right? Here you go.
All right.
Noah Fant, you can just play along in your head and go, there's 1, 2, whatever. Noah All Fant. Right. Dalton Risner, you want to play? You going to play, Mark?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm playing.
Okay.
Oh, you want me to say
it out loud? Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. All right. So when I get.
I had my fingers up, too. I had fingers on each hand. All right.
Yes, but we can't see you. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So here we go.
Yeah.
I need
okay.
to verbalize it. All right.
Go back. Sorry.
Ready? All right.
Yeah.
We didn't have great eyes.
Noah Fant.
No.
Dalton Risner.
Yeah.
Okay. There's one. Drew Lock. You gotta make a projection right now. You gotta call.
No.
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 Draymond Jones.
No.
Justin Hollins.
No.
Juwan Winfrey.
No.
Bradley Chubb.
Yes.
Cortland Sutton.
Yes.
Royce Freeman.
No.
Isaac Yiadom.
No.
Josie Jewell.
No.
Deshaun Hamilton.
No.
Troy Fumagalli.
No.
Sam Jones.
No.
I don't think he's here. He's not here. Keyshawn Bieria.
No.
And David Williams.
No.
So, out of the last 2 drafts, you came up with 3.
Yeah.
Not 8.
No, not 8. And let me just tell you, now, to be fair, Phillip Lindsay has been to a Pro Bowl.
Yeah, and we need to include Phillip Lindsay in that, and I guess we'll put Alexander Johnson in there as well. So does that bring the number to 5?
No.
4.
Well, Phillip Lindsay's already been to a Pro Bowl, so, but I would tell you, I think that there was kind of a perfect storm situation for Phillip Lindsay, but not that he didn't deserve it, because he did, but I think it was the AFC being down in that realm, so many good ones in the NFC down in that realm, so, but he's already been, so you gotta count him as one. But I would tell you this, as pathetic as this offense has been, Mike, you know, from a score, what are they averaging, 17 points a game or whatever? As pathetic as they've been, you can't vote, in my mind, you can't vote anybody on this offense to a Pro Bowl.
Not right now, but no. The idea is that moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
That texter said we're gonna get eight from these last two drafts.
But that texter thinks that it's all coaching and that these players aren't getting coached well enough. And once we fix the coaching thing, you know, and we need to fix it from Gary Kubiak's antiquated offense to, you know, to Mike McCoy doesn't know what he's doing, to Bill Musgrave's just not a very good coordinator, even though the Raiders were 12-4 when he was coordinating that offense. You know, and now Vance Joseph and, you know, that didn't work. And now, you know, this offense with wrinkles is not, once we fix that, Mike, just got to fix that. That's all we got to fix. And then we're going to be fine.
This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.